Welcome to part C of our Games of Folly recapisode. This is the final section of our recapisode, and we hope that you've enjoyed parts A and B. So we're going to move on to our next segment, which is the best random information learned. Once again, I did not pull a lot for this list, so I am reacting mostly to Lauren's list in this segment. So, Lauren, what is some of the best random information that you learned from this unit?
So one thing we learned here is that Beth is so broke, she's willing to eat breadsticks out of a condom. That joke gets me every time.
So gross.
It's like partly the way like she comes back with it. You know, she says like, if I get you a plastic bag to put in your coat, will you get me something? Yep. And then some other conversation takes place and she comes back with the condom. All I could find was the condom. So, you know, just give me a handful of breadsticks or something. Like she is willing to stoop that low. Someone buy this woman lunch, please.
That's when Jimmy was telling Dave he had to do the speech. And that's why Dave barely reacts to it. Yeah, like that was a good way to show it. All right, that's a good one. That's a good piece of random information. Absolutely. Beth is so broke that she is asking for food from banquets, from lesbian banquets.
Just got to work on our eavesdropping skills.
So close. All right.
We also learned that all you have to do to make Bill think you want to kill him is exist near his building and wear an eye patch. That is all it takes. The bar is very low.
That's true. You know what? Catherine knows the guy. She saw him out there. She's not freaked out about this guy. So, yeah. Bill doesn't... the only thing that happens is that this guy is around when Bill gets to work and leaves work.
Yeah.
Good point. Great point.
And think about how many other people are probably around, but they didn't have the noticeable thing of the eye patch. Like, he probably only noticed that guy because of the eye patch. And then because he started noticing him, he's like, this guy's always around. He's around when I'm around.
In Bill's defense, if I noticed that a guy switched eyes with his eye patch, I would probably start looking for him too. Like that's kind of fair, I think. Like, you don't have to be threatened, but at the same time, it's like, well, that's really weird. That's not normal.
I also learned that Dave might possibly be colorblind and be unaware of it.
Oh.
He really believed those were all separate shades of blue, unless he was just messing with Lisa. He really thought they were different shades. I mean, I know it's not high def or anything, but I paused it and I looked at them all together and I was like, I beg to differ.
No, the physical shirts are definitely the same color. There's no question about that.
They went down to JCPenney's or whatever, and they bought a stack of seven of the exact same shirts.
So what I think of is that I read this, I read this article, scientific-like, and it said that, you know, that a lot of times women can see more colors than guys. And I don't remember the context or what the reason was, but it's just one of those things of, you know, a woman being like, these are two different shades, and a guy going, they're both red! They're both red! Like, there's actually some sort of scientific thing where, like, the guy does not distinguish between those two shades the way that stereotypically women can. So now I wish I had brought the article so that I could cite it for everybody on the internet and let them know.
To say, according to the internet.
Yeah. But I'm like, you know, again, like, I don't think it was only women. It was just like most women type thing. So I was like, to me, my first thought is like, I wonder if Dave is a guy that can see all the shades and for some reason Lisa can't. Like, they're in the opposite roles.
Of those. That's kind
of
interesting.
But for the sake of the gag, having all of them be the identical shade blue is hilarious. Like,
yeah.
We're with Lisa. You're crazy, bro.
We also learned that Lisa was a poli-sci major, although I feel like she probably double majored. I bet there was a math major in there too.
Ooh, that's like, a good question.
How could there not be? Like, she's such a math person.
Because it comes so easy to her. Poli-sci is more interesting than math if you can do math that easily, I think.
Yeah. So, but this, I don't know if this is the only time she talked about it, but she definitely like mentioned it in here. I was a poli-sci major.
That's a great piece of information.
Little tidbit. Yeah. Got to hang on to that if I ever write the Lisa Miller memoirs.
And actually, when you think about when in the episode where she, we find out she's been arrested, Is that she wants, like, mm-hmm. the unabridged Articles of Independence or something along those lines? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
some... the only ones I had at home were abridged. Like, she wanted everyone on board with her when she said that.
Yeah, exactly.
And the last interesting fact that I learned was that Walt smoked a lot of weed in college. Put on Dark Side of the Moon, turn down the lights really low. Oh,
so I'm gonna say this now because I don't think there's a place for it really later, but one of the things I pointed out in that episode is that Walt is all about misunderstanding in that episode. He doesn't know what a smoker is. Then he misunderstands kind of the work date with Lisa and how that's going. You know, we get the Jimmy James, like, "Don't you have beautiful eyes?" And Jimmy's like, "Oh, I wear these damn glasses." It seems like everything that Walt is involved in the episode is about a misunderstanding.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Yeah. I like that. Well, and that's funny because they're talking about how young and naive he is.
Yeah. And the music, they really, the gift he gives her.
Yeah, the Richie Havens. Yeah. Yeah. Then they really illustrate it with all these misunderstandings.
So I think it's kind of funny in that episode. Just something that I noticed there. All right. I have one thing worth mentioning to me is that Beth borrowed Joe's MMA tape. And it's like, that's one of those things where it's like, huh? Like, how did that conversation come about? Like, how close are you to be trading tapes or, you know, borrowing those type of tapes? Would you lend Beth anything? Probably not.
I don't think you're getting it
back.
I
don't think so either. You know, but they look at her. He's like, Joe, lend me a tape. You know, there's something there. Like, that fact alone kind of like strengthens the Joe and Beth bond in my head. Mm. You know, like. Yeah. That's kind of like a real friendshipy type thing to do, which makes like the you know, stink butt and all that stuff that comes later a little more plausible, I think. You know, there is something.
Yeah. There. The hijinks that they get up to.
Yeah. Okay, so that's their best random information learned. Of course, we would love it for any listeners to, you know, get us on the socials with other facts that we might have missed or just didn't mention here. Because I think that's a fun category for the unit. All right, moving on to our next category. This is called Based on the Unit. And I have some questions for Lauren that I've probably talked about before in some of the other episodes. But questions I think that exist throughout the series. And based on this unit, Lauren is going to give me kind of a yes or a no answer as best she can. Lauren, are you ready?
I am ready.
Right. Based on this unit, is Matthew really a robot / android?
So, like, I want to say no, because I think if he were, he would be better at his job. Mm-hmm. But based on some of the interactions I've seen, like, recently with AI, I think he might be, like, an early version of an AI android. And honestly, like, we haven't seen much improvement since this early model. But, like, I think in this unit, like, maybe what we're seeing is, like, Dave found a way to make him glitch, right? So, like, by Dave acting crazy, his software glitches. Right. And now he has to go, like, leave to go reboot,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, so maybe he is an android. And, like, Dave found a way to hack him.
Yeah. So. And I'm thinking maybe in the gambling episode, he's programmed not to win. Like,
yeah.
It almost makes more sense. The way he loses all those bets is that he's actually programmed not to win. Hmm?
Well, and if most of the things he was betting on were like random chance type things. And so like a computer has as much chance of winning that as a person. Maybe. You might even think that like some, like the sports betting, like there's might be some strategy or like, you know, the things they're talking about in the beginning, like, oh, don't bet on this team on the road. Yeah. Like a computer doesn't necessarily know that unless you feed it a ton of information first.
Right.
So if nobody fed him the information into his software, it's a total random guess.
True.
So yeah, he's got like a 50-50 shot. Nope. He lost again. It's a coin flip.
Doesn't know what the spread will be. What's the spread anyway?
Oh, I heard 5. 5 is what I heard.
Okay. Yeah. And if he doesn't have the info, he doesn't have the program, he can't run it. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So based on the unit, are you saying yes or no?
I am saying yes based on this unit.
Yes.
I initially wanted to say no, But the unit convinced me, yes.
Yes. Matthew is really secretly a robot or android. Again, I think we're going to look at other units and we're going to find out the same thing. Like, there's a lot of evidence that you can look at and, mm-hmm. and see in there. Okay, next question. Does Beth have a secret crush on Dave? Based on this unit, Lauren, yes or no?
It's interesting you bring it up because I'm sure I've mentioned in previous Freakzilla reports there was a large group of fans on the message boards back in the yep. day who were really shipping Dave and yep. Beth, including our good friend Tavy.
Yep.
So I think these people were actually really smart and noticed the toxic nature of the Dave-Lisa relationship Ooh. And just wanted something good to happen for Beth. And for Dave and Lisa, probably. But I also think Beth will quickly develop a crush on anyone she sees as an authority figure, or a father figure, or a man in uniform, or really old any older man will do.
Boy.
I think the only problem is Dave will always have the image of the little boy in the blue suit for her, and if there is an inkling of a if there's any inkling of like a secret crush, I think that might kill it. I don't see anything in this unit that convinces me Beth has a secret crush on Dave. I think her wanting to like go to the smoker with him was really just her wanting, like she knew that if he says he's taking me as his date, he has to give me something and I want something free. And so when she gets the subway token, she's like, hey, it's more than I walked in here with. I really don't think it has anything to do with her feelings. I think it has to do with her brokenness.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm going to say no to the secret crush.
Okay. I actually lean yes on this one.
Okay.
I think first, when you look at In Through the Outdoor, you see that like Beth is closer than Lisa as a friend and confidant to Dave. Like they have the argument with her on the couch. She's like, woo, like, you know, like she almost, it's so strange that she didn't get up and go, like, you know, again, the uncomfortable. No, she's actually kind of like a part of it. And she's kind mm-hmm. of on Dave's side, I think, you know? So I'm kind yeah. of like, all right, there's something there. And then the date at the end, the date in 420 is just so completely over the top. But it's also like, why mm-hmm. did she want to go on this date with Dave so badly? You know, like, she really pushed it. Maybe she was so nervous about it, she kind of blew it. Also, if we believe that Lisa is just kind of like playing with Dave's emotions by going out with Walt, again, just a theory, then is Beth going out with Dave to try to push back at Lisa? Is she mad about what Lisa's been doing? Because this is also, no, I'm mixed up the episodes. So yeah. So I think I look at it like, is that date with Dave kind of a pushback because she's mad at Lisa for something, or, you know, she doesn't like the way Lisa is messing around with Walt type of thing.
She does have like a hot and cold relationship with Lisa, I think. Like they can be really close friends and confidants, but then the second Lisa does something to annoy her, Beth gets kind of like vindictive, I think.
Could be.
So that's possible. That's possible. I didn't find compelling evidence in this unit of episodes, okay. but that doesn't mean definitively like I won't find something in a future unit.
Okay. Good enough. All right. Two more questions left. Next.
Okay.
Based on this unit, is Joe a psychopathic serial killer? Yes or no?
100%. Okay, without a doubt. I mean, in general, I'm already on board with this, so this wasn't a hard sell. Like, he is the Unabomber. I fully believe he killed Rick, which is why we never see Rick after the first episode.
Oh boy.
I'm really starting to think that he did trap the models in that elevator. that he modified the elevator so that, if he hadn't had the idea that maybe Dave could have had a date with one of them, who knows what would have become Ooh. Of those models? Like, he trapped him there with ulterior motives. And then he was like, oh, wait, but my buddy Dave. And he was like, okay, we'll save him then.
Interesting.
Who knows what could have happened to them? The stalker shocker definitely incapacitated Bill for way more than 30 minutes. Way more than 30 minutes. So I think Joe might have actually intended it for it to be a deadly weapon, but he's just a shoddy electrician. Mm. So he intended for it to be a murder weapon, but luckily he wasn't very good at his job. So it just incapacitated Bill. He was clearly offering to get Bill a gun before he realized Bill was just asking for his stun gun.
Why, you want one?
And he wasn't the least bit fazed by it. Mm-hmm. So yes, Joe is a psychotic serial killer.
Okay, that's interesting. All right, so my response is kind of dependent on if you think that Matthew is really a robot or an android. Because realistically, throughout this unit, he shows so much concern for Matthew. You know, like, he's looking out for him. He doesn't want to physically hurt him. You know, like, obviously you could have knocked him out in the ring in 3 seconds. But he's like, come on, dude, just tap out. Like, this, that, like, he shows so much just, you know, care, I guess. For, he tells Matthew he loves him. Mm-hmm. So, like, to me, I'm like, that is not... That's either super dark, because that means that he's mimicking people's behavior in order to become a better serial killer. Or if Matthew was actually a robot android that Joe probably would have been involved with building or programming, then that would actually explain why he's so nice to Matthew on the overall. It would kind of explain why that $20,000 debt is going to just disappear. So yeah, so I guess I kind of have a split answer. My first answer is no, but I cannot definitively stick with it. Mm-hmm. I will waffle. I will waffle for the rest of the unit. Okay, let's get to the big question of the unit. Based on this unit, is Jimmy evil?
Okay. I don't think anyone becomes a billionaire without being evil. So let's just put that out there. I think we see throughout the series, especially early on, like, he makes cutthroat business decisions without really taking the human element of business into consideration. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end of the series, they turned him into more this softy and made him feel dumb. And I think, like, we as fans agreed that was a disservice to the character. Mm. I think Steven Root has even said that in the past, that, like, that was a disservice to the character. Right. But so, like, this unit of episodes didn't really include those later episodes where they, I felt like they took away the evil cutthroat Jimmy and turned him into this big softy dummy kind of guy. So in this unit, we see him force his employees to fight each other in the ring for his own amusement. And I think we both agree probably for his own profit as well.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. he threatens to fire either Dave or Lisa for having a relationship, even though it seems there is not a policy against it.
Good point.
He's experimenting on his staff with the goofy ball. He ditches out on Bill's speech and sticks Dave with it under false pretenses. Mm-hmm. I'm going definitely evil.
Okay. the evidence is overwhelming, and I don't see how you can make the argument that he's not evil in this unit.
Yeah.
So those are my four based on this unit questions for Lauren to answer. I think we will follow up on these next unit, same four, and see what those three episodes lead us to think. Okay, so we are almost at the end here. This is actually kind of our catch-all category. This is going to go a little fast, a little loose. But I am also going to explain the timeline of the Stalker episode at the end of it. So if anybody missed that before, don't worry. You're going to hear about it this time. all right. So I asked Lauren about the best use of numbers in this unit. And Lauren went through and found awesome numbers in these episodes. Lauren, what did you find?
As the Hoodoo Factory's resident accountant, I really appreciated this question. So in Through the Outdoor... I thought the best use of numbers was Lisa correcting Joe on how long it would take for Matthew to pay him back at $1 a day. Mostly it's the way Joe says she doesn't impress him right after. Yeah. Oh, it was just so good. The stone cold stare. You don't impress me.
Great exchange.
But it was still an excellent use of a number for comedic effect. Mm. And by the way, it was 28.055 years for anyone who wanted that number.
$1 a day for the rest of his life.
In Goofy Ball, My favorite use of a number for comedic effect is Catherine's two quick things. When she walks in, she goes, Dave, two quick things. Nice. And then the first one is her friend's resume. And then the second one is Bill thinks someone's trying to kill him. The way she comes in and it's two quick things and makes it very clear that she thinks her friend's resume is the more important of the yeah. two, and that Bill's thing merits almost no consideration. And if she hadn't come in with the two quick things, the joke would be yeah, lost, you know? Agreed. So that was a very effective use of the number two there. Agreed. That was great. And then in 420, the best use of numbers for comedy was the bet Matthew tries to make on himself with Joe over the fight. I've got $1,000 that says you don't have $1,000. I've got $100 that says you don't have $100. $10 says I can make you tap out in 45 seconds. Let's see the $10. And then he can't even yeah. produce the $10.
I was like, nope.
It was just a great use of numbers for comedy. And it was a bunch of numbers, rapid fire.
You don't have $1,000. You don't have $100 in it. It was so good. Nice. Well done.
Very good. So those were my favorite numbers in the unit.
Excellent. I'm definitely keeping an eye out in the next unit for numbers. Like, that's too funny. Okay, so in our catch-all here, we actually have one recasting each. Lauren, who would you recast in this unit?
The only recasting I could think of was, how great would it have been in 420 to have the referee be Michael Buffer?
Oh, that would have been really good.
Just to have him come out and give us a let's get ready to rumble.
I think it only works if you have him with a look of disgust at the tickle fight afterwards. You know, kind of like, you brought me out here to use my catchphrase for this, for a tickle fight?
Or to do some sort of like mic drop and yeah, stomp exactly. off or something. Just, yeah, like this wasn't what I signed on for. Yeah.
That is, yeah, Michael Buffer. Again, like, I think that's about the time where he was becoming known as the guy who did that. You know, like, that's about the time he trademarked it and started being brought into every big fight in the world in every sport.
So maybe at the time it wouldn't have worked if he wasn't as well known for that. But looking back now, oh, yeah. it's like, oh, God, how great would it be to just like pick him up and put him in that ring?
Yeah. No, that definitely would have made the scene better. Just recognize him. Even if he didn't do the line, just knowing it was him would absolutely improve.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
That's the only recasting I could think of.
All right. So one that I just kind of thought up was the stalker. What if it was Rob Riggle instead of Dennis Miller? And it's because, like, I don't even love a lot of Rob Riggle stuff. Like, he's got to hit me the right way and then I think he's good, but sometimes I was like, this guy too much, or he's trying too hard. But like,
yeah,
there's something about the way that he interacts with people and, like, you know, joking around with them, that if he was the yeah. stalker and Bill is, like, you know, trying to stand up straight and all that. Again, I don't know time wise how old he would be or if that would have worked out, but like,
yeah.
But like, Rob Riggle roughly now as that stalker, I think would have been a really funny recast.
I think I could see that. I could see that playing out really funny.
It's almost easier to believe that he could carry on a conversation with a, you know, guy who's paralyzed. I can see Rob yeah. Riggle doing that more than, you know, Dennis Miller.
Just talking nonstop, like, to an inanimate
right,
person.
Talking to himself. You know what I'm talking about. So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as somebody else pointed out, it's a good bit that conspiracy nut Dennis Miller played conspiracy nut stalker on the show.
Like, true to life. Yeah, that part was pretty great.
Awesome. All right. So I know we have one more category that we call multiverse mix-ups. Again, something that I didn't really put it out there in time to come up with a big section, but I know you came up with a really good one. What is your multiverse mix-up?
The only one I really thought of was, I could see Goofy Ball as sort of like a noir style episode, because I could see Bill as the detective trying to solve the case of the murderous stalker. And I also want to see, like, Joe wants to hook up Dave with one of these here dames,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so I don't really know how the actual Goofy Ball storyline plays into that. I don't know. You'd have to work that out. But I thought that the stalker storyline and the model storyline could work with that style very well.
Yeah, I could picture it. Like, you need a femme fatale just as a genre piece. But whoever that mm-hmm. is the person that gives Bill the stun gun instead of Joe. That to me is like the only thing you need to change is that she either delivers the stun gun to Bill or like, but somehow she's somewhat responsible. Like Catherine, you know, like Catherine is the one that gives him the stun gun and then sends the stalker up. You know, we see that scene type of thing.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I can see it as a noir.
That would make it work. That would
be a fun one. Nice work. Excellent job. Okay, so do you have anything else for catch-all that you can think of?
That is all I've got.
Okay, so then the last thing is me explaining to Lauren the timeline of the stalker episode. Because we have a couple, just some things don't really line up. Where this guy shows up at the end of the workday, and then he says it's 11:30, it's been 3 hours, yada, yada, yada. So this is how I broke down the timeline. This is how I think things went down, okay? We're going to assume that Catherine leaves the office at about 5:30 with Bill telling her not to talk to the stalker. And we're going to assume that Lisa, Dave, and Jimmy leave the office at about 6 p.m. Okay. So Bill stuns himself at approximately 5:45 p.m.
Okay.
All right. The stalker shows up and starts talking. So this is right after 6 o'clock, roughly. He looks at his watch, says it's already 11:30, and he can't believe he's been talking for 3 hours. After he leaves, Matthew and Beth reveal they're still in the office, still playing with the goofy ball, at 11:30 p.m., almost 6 hours after work has ended. So it's more likely that the stalker mixed up the watch, the hands on his watch, and Joe underestimated the power of the stun gun. So if you switch the hands on the clock, that makes it 6:55 p.m. The 3 hours comment is a misdirect. and it makes the stalker seem more unbalanced. Because really, who could talk to somebody who's paralyzed for 3 hours? You know, like, that is a stretch on its own. Also, in the 90s, as much as I didn't want to go home after work, Beth and Matthew would play for an extra hour instead of go home, not an extra 3 or 4 hours until they're there at the end of the day, literally at the end of the day, 11:30, almost midnight.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, at a certain point, Matthew's going to be like, I got to feed my cats.
100%. That's the biggest loophole that I couldn't get around. How is he going to only feed the cats inside? Oh, I got it. Yeah. So what I can think of, if you say it's 11:30 and you flip the hands on the watch, that makes it 6:55, which kind of lines up a lot more strongly with the end of a workday, with an order of events, and explains why Matthew and Beth are still in the office spiking a goofy ball into Bill's face at the end of the episode.
That would explain a lot more.
Yeah.
That would kind of make everything line up.
And the 3 hours is just to prove how crazy and unbalanced this guy is.
And also means that his trying to strengthen his eyes with the eye patch is not working because he can't even read the hands on his watch correctly.
Or maybe that's why he can't. Like, does he have his watch upside down? Like, we don't know. This guy's nuts. This guy thinks that flipping an eye patch is going to give him the strong eyes. I don't know. Okay, so that's my explanation. That's how I explain it. We've cleared up the model issue. We've cleared up the stalker issue. Like, I'm ready. I'm ready to take on these conspiracies and get down to what I think happened. The reconstruction. We'll try to spring our Hoodoo Factory budget and do some of those reenactments that they do with the animated figures.
We'll work on that.
We're going to have to sell a lot more merch out of the store.
Buy some stickers, folks.
Okay, so we are finally at the part where we do our Venn diagram / talk similarities. All right, and I know that Lauren always comes strong. I've got a couple of weak ones to throw in here. But this is where we talk about the similarities between the episodes in this unit. So, Lauren, where do you want to start? We should start with the all three episodes.
Yeah, let's start with the things that are in all three episodes. I've only got one of those. I think you've got a few.
I've got a couple, yeah.
Okay.
So I'll start with this. All three episodes has Bill worried about other people. He's worried about how the audience is going to think about him in the speech. He's worried about the stalker. And then he's worried about Dave getting his heart broken.
Oh, that's a good one.
So I looked at that.
Yeah. That's a good one. Okay. Yeah.
Not bad. Not bad. I'll give a similar one. Okay. Is that Joe tries to look out for other people in this unit. So okay. He tries to stop Matthew from betting all the time until Matthew just keeps on pushing. Joe tries to look out for Dave and hook him up with the model, successfully hooks him up with a model for a date. And then at the end, he's trying not to hurt Matthew. And he expresses that.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, I like it.
Not bad, not bad. All right, I've got one more solid one here.
Okay.
Bill has trouble speaking in all three episodes. He loses his voice when it's time to give the speech. He is paralyzed by the stun gun, and he can't talk. And he's crying on the phone with Lisa, which I have to imagine makes it hard for him to be understood.
Okay. I had that in a two-episode connection, and I was missing that last one.
That was the one I was like, okay.
I had Bill is speechless, but I had it. Yeah. All right.
Perfect.
Yeah,
that's a better way to put it, is Bill is speechless. But yeah.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Okay. Yeah.
So I think those are all the ones I really came up with for all three episodes.
Okay.
Everything else I think is two.
All right. I only had one for all three, and it is Dave pretending.
Mm.
So in Goofy Ball, he's pretending to be single.
Right.
You know, he's dating Lisa, but he's pretending to be single. Right. In Through the Outdoor, he's pretending to say nice things about Bill during his speech.
Yeah. Very good.
And in 420, he's pretending to be crazy to make Matthew go away.
Nice. Really good. Those are good ones. Really solid. Oh, nice. Okay, so I think that's all we have for our three episode commonalities. Maybe we can add on to some of these twos if we can think of something. But that could be where we are.
All right.
I just have a couple random ones. I do not have a ton.
Okay.
So I'll go with this one. There's banquets in two of the episodes. All right. We have Bill's big speech and we have the smoker.
Okay. That's a good way to put it. I put fancy after work outing.
Just as accurate. Just like us explaining the plots badly. Both accurate.
Kind of like a gay lesbian type woman.
Yeah, precisely.
Has kind of the same cadence to it. All right, so that's an In Through the Outdoor and 420. Yes. Also in that same episode, I've got betting.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got the gambling storyline from In Through the Outdoor. And then in 420, Matthew wants to bet on himself in the fight.
Absolutely agree.
Okay.
I'm going to go with throwing things in the office. We have Goofy Ball and Goofy Ball. And we have the paper ball scene in Through the Outdoor, where they're throwing all the paper balls at the garbage can.
Yes, I had that one as well on my list.
Nice.
Okay. So, yes, that was In Through the Outdoor and Goofy Ball. Also in that episode, I have Jimmy stirring up trouble and leaving. In Goofy Ball, he kind of brings in the Goofy Ball, throws it into the staff, says what he wants them to do, and then he's out of there. And it kind of just causes trouble for Dave for the rest of the day. And then in Through the Outdoor, he comes in, cancels his public speaking engagement, tosses that to Dave and makes it his problem. And then he's out of there. So really, in both cases, it's stirring up trouble for Dave.
Well, you got to throw the smoker in there, too. Like when he pits Matthew and Joe against each other, like that causes a whole stir in the office. Beth and Lisa are like, he's going to get killed. They're worried about him. Joe is worried. That's true. Like, I would put that in the three.
Did he leave, though?
He introduces the smoker, and he takes off. He comes back.
Yeah. Jimmy stirring up trouble is in all three.
Yeah. That might be a common one that we find in episodes.
That's kind of his MO. Yep.
I have Matthew being condescending. When Lisa tries to tell him about how much money he's lost, or he's like, "Do you understand what double or nothing means?" He's like, "Oh, this is betting stuff. Like, you wouldn't understand." And then, obviously, when he is set up to fight with Joe, he walks around just very much condescending Joe and talking aggressively.
Okay, so that is In Through the Outdoor and 420, mm-hmm. Matthew being condescending. In those two episodes, I've got Beth wants something from Dave.
Ooh.
In Through the Outdoor, she wants breadsticks and a condom.
Lesbian banquet.
And in 420, she wants a gift for their date, which turns out to be a Subway token.
And she is way too happy to accept.
I know, she's so excited.
An authentic New York Subway token. I think there's a Mr. James and Matthew moment. In Into the Outdoor, at the end, he tries to console him. And obviously, Matthew reveals how bad a gambler he is. And then, obviously, he and Mr. James kind of teamed up. So I guess there's not a moment, but they teamed up for the fight to fleece all the other rich billionaires.
Mm.
So there's definitely a team-up going on where they fooled Joe into actually doing the fight, knowing that Matthew was going to have a way to win.
Okay.
That's...
yeah.
A little conspiracy.
So like a Mr. James and Matthew matchup kind of thing going on. Okay.
The team up.
I've got a few more for Goofy Ball and 420. And I think that's it. All right. So Goofy Ball and 420, I've got Paranoid Bill.
Okay.
So, you know, in Goofy Ball, he's got the stalker. He's very paranoid about that.
Yep.
And in 420, he's paranoid about the Lisa Waltz relationship.
So you wouldn't put him as paranoid that Dave's going to give a bad speech?
We could call it paranoid.
Yeah, I guess paranoia is maybe not the right term, but it's pretty close. Like, he goes way over the top to make sure that Dave gives a good speech.
If we believe that's really Bill,
if,
it might all be in Dave's imagination.
That is true. For the sake of creating content, put that theory inside.
Also, in that episode pairing, I've got Joe fumbles where you'd think he'd shine. So in Goofy Ball, with the models. You would kind of think he always kind of presents himself as like a ladies' man, and we've seen how he likes to woo women or whatever. You would think he would have like a tiny bit of game, like at least a little bit. And then he knows they're there. It's not like he's caught off guard. He knows there's going to be models in that elevator. And then they show up and comes out with, "My name is Joe," you know?
Yeah.
So you would think he would have had something better than that.
Woo! I don't know about Joe's game, but that's a good point.
So he totally fumbles there. And then the smoker, you know, like you feel like this is going to be something he's going to be good at. And then no, he does not have it. He blows it big time.
Agreed. There we go.
So I've got one more, but I think you've got one more as well, right?
Yes. My last one is that it's Dave's dating life. Because one obviously is about the models and Lisa, and then the other one has got Beth dragging him to the smoker on a date.
That's interesting. Because my last one was Lisa's love life.
Okay.
Similar thing. We've got like the models and her revealing to Mr. James that her and Dave are dating in Goofy Ball, and then in 420 is the whole business with her and Walt. So we've got that. We've got like a little love parallelogram going on there or something.
Okay, so that is all of our similarities, correct?
I think so.
All right. Obviously, there's a lot more out there. And again, that's the type of thing that we would love to hear from our listeners. If anyone wants to just post up on our social media about it. But those are some very solid similarities that are going into a very solid Venn diagram, which will be posted shortly after this episode audio gets posted. The end. Okay. All right. So we actually only have like one more section left, and that is Lauren's take. This unit, I actually put together this unit as we were trying to figure out, you know, what a new possible format would be or how we could keep these episodes rolling. So I wanted to get Lauren's opinion on how these episodes fit together as a unit and maybe what some of the possible alternative episodes would be if she had had any type of say in selecting this unit, if I was not the dictator that I was.
I thought these episodes fit really nicely together with the theme. And as we mentioned, like there was also an underlying theme of like these were all great build episodes too. We had no idea. So we've got the Games of Folly unit here. Mm-hmm. And then in Through the Outdoor, we've got the gambling. Yep. That's sort of the games that are going on in the office. Yeah. In Goofy Ball, the staff is playing with the Goofy Ball throughout the day. Right. That's the game that's going on. Then in 420, we have the fight and all the posturing that leads up to it. That's a sort of game. I would also argue that all the acting crazy to get someone to leave you alone is also sort of a game that people are absolutely playing in the office. So I think that one sort of like works both ways. So I thought it was a great unit and a nice theme, and I thought they all worked really well together.
Yes, that's a W, folks.
So if I had to pick another episode to include in this unit, I would probably choose Led Zeppelin box set.
Oh, okay.
And that includes Alpha Matthew and the three card Monty storyline. Because I would argue that like Alpha Matthew is Matthew sort of playing a game in the office, because I don't think he ever really thought he was that person. I think he's just sort of playing a game with himself.
Who's the boss? Am I right?
And then the three card Monty storyline is Jimmy more literally trying to learn a game. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And if I could have a second choice, I would choose The Song Remains the Same. And that's the episode with, it has Dave trying to prove he's not favoring Lisa. It has Jimmy's early April Fool's jokes. And it has Beth cleaning out Brian's desk. I put that in quotation marks. I would argue that the April Fool's jokes are sort of like a game that's going on in the office. But that one wasn't quite as strong, which is why it's my second choice.
Okay. Okay. So my next choice was actually, I was thinking of Injury, when they try to jump up with the cup, and then they're trying to keep the information away from Mr. James and Roger, right? I think that's a Roger episode, Norm MacDonald.
Yeah.
So I don't remember if we actually put that in a possible other unit for the future, or what. I don't remember why I didn't include it, but that was like the next one that I probably would have thrown in if I had to pick one.
Okay. Yeah. I could definitely see that fitting this unit as well.
That was a game and that a folly. Been a good one.
Who's Mr. Jameson Roger Wood? that's
so classic. That was so classic. Okay, so we got the thumbs up on this past unit. Excellent way to start winding up the recap episode. I really only have one more big question for you, Lauren. My next unit is titled Money or Secrets. Can you guess any of the three episodes that are going to be a part of this unit?
Okay, I'm trying to guess here. I have one good guess and two okay guesses.
Okay.
I think my best guess is Zoso.
Yes, that is number one. Okay. Number one in the unit is going to be Zoso. Do you remember what happens in Zoso?
That's got the storyline Lisa wants a raise.
Yeah.
the Donald hat, not the Mushmouth hat. And Bill's girlfriend thinks he's British.
Yes. So we get another British accent episode, which is always great. Definitely looking forward to that. So that is one of our Money or Secrets episode. What are some of your other guesses?
My next guess is gonna be Bitch Session.
No.
No.
Oh, not bad though. That's a good guess. That is a good guess for sure.
Okay. Okay. Then my last guess is The Secret of Management.
Yes. That is okay. Also in the unit.
Okay.
Right. You remember what happens in that episode?
So that's got Jimmy's Secrets of Management. Yep. Cadbury. Yes.
Uh-huh.
And no one cares that Matthew's back.
That's it. So that, a good money or secrets episode. Do you want to take one more guess, or do you want me to tell you what the third is? You're 2 for 3 right now. You're red hot.
2 for 3. Okay, let me see if I can... Let me see if I can take one more guess.
Arguably the biggest secret in the series.
Oh.
The train? Yes!
Ah, yeah! Yep,
that's it. Zoso, Trainer, and the Secret of Management are going to be the money or secrets unit. And do you remember what happens in Trainer?
That is the biggest secret, because that's the storyline where everyone finds out Dave is Canadian.
Correct.
It also has the fitness club.
Yes.
And Jimmy's table manners.
Yes. So of those ones, that one's heavy on secret, but I think, again, it'll be a fun one to do. And if it all comes together, I'll probably do like a money or secrets questions or section inside the episodes or the next week episode. That is the next unit on our Hoodoo Factory conveyor belt. The Money or Secrets with Zoso, Trainer, Secret of Management. I appreciate your patience in waiting for these episodes to come out. We're grinding away on them. Hopefully get a little bit quicker as we go along. Thank you all for listening. Please send feedback to our Instagram or Twitter accounts at @hoodoo_factory and let us know what you think of today's episode. Please be on the lookout for the next survey so you can vote on the categories in our next episode. And I just have to say that I am really pumped to have Lauren back on mic for this episode.
I'm happy to be back. And looking forward to this next unit. Sounds like a fun one.
All right. So until next time, I'll catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Pantyhose.
Thank you for visiting the Hoodoo Factory, the source for all your hoodoo needs. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @hoodoo_factory. The Hoodoo Factory is part of the Stolen Dress Podcast Network. Please stop by our gift shop at grabitgear.com. And remember, the Hoodoo Factory is the supplier of the only known antidote for Absa fever.